Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi. Hey, would you stand with us? Today, we are gathered here to worship God, to give Him our praise, to give Him our adoration. We sing songs to bring Him glory, to put Him on high, to seat Him above everything else in our lives. And so as we engage in worship this morning, let God transform you. Let God move in you today.
never runs out. Your love never runs. God, your love. We sing of your love, God. It overwhelms us.
Welcome to Living Waters. Good to have you here for worship this morning. My name is Dan Hostetler. I'm coordinator of missions. I get excited about missions because right now we have a team in Kenya, Robin McFerrin and her daughter-in-law and grandson, Kim and Mario, are on that team, and they're having a great trip over there. If you want to talk about missions, come and see me. We'll help you wherever God is calling you. Couple things. If you're new to us, welcome. Connection Point has coffee and pastry. We'd invite you to take part in that. I know after church you want to get out of here, but come next Sunday and take advantage of that. This coming Saturday, we have Leadership Summit. This is for leaders and volunteers who are considering to help here at the church, 9 to 12, a great time of fellowship, a training session, and a time to get to know other leaders and volunteers in the church. If you haven't signed up, there's a place in the foyer to do that. We welcome you. I know it's hard to give up a Saturday morning. Spring is here, but it's a great time of fellowship. We encourage you to take advantage of that. Again, if you're not connected, in the chairs in front of you, there's a connection card. We'd love to have you fill it out and let us know about you, and we'd be glad to be in touch and plug you in around here in one of the activities that would interest you. So let's continue to worship. Thank you.
We sing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God forever.
Spoken.
So take my life and let it.
Sing that out. Come to my heart.
you are great and greatly to be praised this morning. In just a moment, we're going to continue in our worship, and we'll be taking our offering as well. So let this just be another form of worship for you this morning. We honor God in this place with our voices, with our lives, with our gifts. Would you join with me in just a moment here as I pray? And echo back these words in your heart. Echo back these words in your head, that together, one voice, we can come before God and honor him and bless him and request of him. So God, we come before you now. And we sing these words. We say that our God, we boast in you. Our God is greater than anything else. Our God is stronger than anything else. And our God is a healer. Our God is awesome. And nothing else can compare. Nothing else can compare in our lives, in our anything, God. We just honor you today. God, I ask and plead and beg that your presence would overwhelm us in this place today. Jesus Christ, come be amidst us. God, we want to bring you honor. We want to exalt you and you alone. I ask all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, as that song said, your presence is the air I breathe. You are all we need. That is what we are all about today, God. Your presence being here. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today, we have a special treat, a special guest that's going to be speaking with us this morning. He is one of Living Water's own, and he also is the superintendent of our conference. So would you welcome to the stage Mike McFerrin, Super Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you so much. I really looked forward to this all week long. I, no matter how many different places I go and places that I speak, this is just home. And I imagine it always will be. And it's great for me to have the chance to be here. I'd like to talk a little bit about the difference between facts and truth. I'd like to talk a little bit about the difference or talk a little bit about where do we go from here. Last Sunday was an amazing event, was it not? You can always tell how good it's going to get at Living Water by how hard it is to find a parking space. And it was really hard last week. And it was too soft and muddy to park in the grass. And that's a great victory. It's fantastic. But where do we go from here? I mean, everything in that week, everything, a lot of what has happened since New Year's has been building to Easter. And we look forward to what's happening or what's going to happen. And we come with tremendous expectation of what Easter is going to be. Where do we go from here? You know, is today sort of just a, you know, superfluous? Just a little bit of an extra? Or is there a higher place we can go? You know yourself, if you've lived any time at all, that our lives seem to go through ups and downs. And those ups and downs can be very, very far apart. And after you live so many years, you know that when you're in that up place, you know that downtime is coming. And you live so long, and you know when you're in that downtime, it's going to get better. Well, where do we go from here spiritually? Where do we go from Christ is risen, and he lives, and because he lives, we can live too? Where do we go from there? I believe you have to know the difference between a truth and an answer, okay? Because I'm not going to give you an answer today. I'm not sure that there is an answer that fits everybody. I'm pretty sure there's an answer that fits everybody individually. I went to referee my first church fight. That was an experience. Oh, I love doing that. And walked in, and the people who were on the two different sides sat on separate sides of the congregation. They were there, and they outlined, here's the problem from this side. And everybody on this side went, yeah, that's the problem. Everybody said, no, that's not the problem. And then somebody from this side got up and outlined the problem from this side. And everybody on this side said, yeah, now that's the problem. And they said, that never was the problem. And so I stood up. And I said, you expect me here to give you an answer. And I have an answer for you. But before I give you the answer, I have a piece of paper that I'm going to pass around. And on the paper it says, we the undersigned promise to do whatever Mike McFerrin says. And from the looks on the faces, it looked like everybody's shoes just got two sizes smaller. And then I started to laugh and they knew that I was kidding. And I said, you see, you want me to come in and give you an answer so that you can go home and decide whether you agree with it or not. And that's what we do so often in the church. That's what we do so often as followers of Jesus. I want to find out today, Jesus doesn't give answers very much. But he does give truths. And I'd like to give you a truth this morning that has to do with where do we go from here. It was never intended. That's jumping ahead. I'd like to read from Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to start with verse 13. It is, in the timing of the account, it's Easter. It's the same day where the tomb was discovered to be empty, where people are now in confusion. Some believe that Jesus has risen. Some believe they don't know what to believe. And we find that there's two men traveling, walking, from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And these two men don't believe that Jesus is risen. In fact, they're very troubled. Let's read. Verse 13. Behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia. Where in the world did I get that? Stadia? 7 miles from Jerusalem. They talked with each other about all these things which had happened. Isn't that what we do? What do you talk about? We talk about what's going on in our life. It happened while they talked and questioned together that Jesus himself came near and went with them. Electronics. Got me in King James, sorry. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now that's not that odd, because we know that when Mary went to the empty tomb and the risen Christ came to Mary up behind her and said, she thought it was a gardener. And we know that here a little bit later, Jesus is going to cook breakfast on the seashore for some of his disciples, and they were kept from recognizing him for a while. And how about you? I used to know this man, and he always wore a ball cap. And when I'd go to his farm, and I'd see him, and he'd have his ball cap on and everything, and I mean, I knew him very well, and I was standing behind him once in a reception line at a wedding. And he turned around and saw me and goes, Mike! I thought, who are you? Because I always picture he had the cap on, he had hair under there. This guy was bald. And I didn't know who he was. When he told me, well, he didn't tell me, he says, picture hat and hair. Jim! So this recognize, it's really hard to recognize someone who you think is dead. Okay? And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still and their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? He asked. Some people say that if you're a follower of Jesus, you blindly follow somebody who is spoon-feeding you answers. Whoever says that has no idea of how Jesus operates. Because very rarely does Jesus give answers. He asks questions. What are you talking about? What things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Now, I'm going to read these things, and they're telling the story. Now, if you know me really well, you know that when I tell my stories, I never exaggerate. I just want to know if what's happening here is fact, okay? You tell me. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. Fact? I need to hear it. Yes? No? Fact. And they crucified him. Yes. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, this is the third day. Fact, since all this took place, in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. Yes. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Fact. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So their facts were right, weren't they? Their facts were not exaggerated. You can put them down. They apply to what was said in Matthew's gospel. They apply to exactly to what was said in Mark's gospel and exactly what was said in John's gospel, right? But they were wrong. Where were they wrong? They were building their facts on the wrong truth. Let's go back to what they said at the very first thing. It's about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and in all the people. He wasn't a prophet. Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus was the Savior of the world. Jesus was the Son of God who came for the purpose of dying for your sins and for my sins. He was the Redeemer. He was the Christ. He was. Now you can ask, where am I going to go from here? And you can ask this at any point in your life. You ask this at the greatest disappointments we'll have. Maybe the greatest loss that you can imagine in your whole life. And what you ask is, where do I go from here? You can have the greatest victory in your whole life. And that's even more scary, because when you have the greatest hurt, the greatest loss, the greatest injury, the greatest hardship that you've ever known, there's no place to go but up. What if you're at the top? When I turned 60 years old, I figured I had 15 more years before I was the cute little old guy people talked to in the lobby, and then when I left, laughed because I made no sense at all. So where do we go in our life? In this year, everyone in this room is going to experience deeply troubling things, every one of you. I don't care if you're 13 or 113. And you're going to ask yourself, where do I go from here? And I think probably everybody in this room is going to spend some time at the top of their game. Just like last Sunday. Well, where do we go from here? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet. Oh. They believed he was a prophet, so every fact they built after that did not give a true reflection of what was happening in their world. Where you go from here, I don't know that. I know the doorway that we can all walk through. And the doorway is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you believe Jesus is? And how are you living out what you say and what you believe? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and in deed. And Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, verse 25, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. How foolish you are. Now, I don't think Jesus looked at him and said, well, you fools. I don't know. That just doesn't fit for me. I think it was more like Jesus said, if it had been today, Jesus would have said, Well, duh! That was going to be the title of this message this morning. That was the second one. Well, duh! Look what they said, going back. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Well, duh! He was! He is! And so, where you go from this point, whatever happens in your life, good or bad, how you move through it depends on who you say Jesus is, who you believe Jesus is, and how you live out what you say and what you believe. And to do that requires the risen Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Do not let facts keep you from the truth. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Do not let facts keep you from the truth. Here's a practical example. If you're a treasurer of something, I mean, it doesn't take very many days before you can read in the paper that somebody was caught embezzling. How in the world do you embezzle? Change facts or move them around. But we depend on facts. We want proof. We stand on opposite sides of each other and we get angry and yell facts back and forth at each other. And it would be really, really wonderful to be able to say that followers of Jesus don't do that. But followers of Jesus do. I believe it's Romans 2:23, and Paul is writing and he says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Because we're building facts on a foundation that is not Jesus Christ. Let's see where he goes from this. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He told them truth. Didn't give them answers. Do you think they might have had an issue with the Romans occupying their country? Think they might have had an issue with that? Do you think they might have had an issue with a foreign country in control, their land? They can come into your house, take out whoever they want to take. They can charge you however many taxes they want. They can do that. And it's done on a daily basis. And Jesus never addressed that. Ever. Because those are facts. Jesus taught them about truth. Who do you say Jesus is? And understand that that say, that includes everything that comes out of my mouth. Because I can tell you this morning, I can look you in the eye, and I can say, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And I can go out to McDonald's to buy my Big Mac, and I can stand in line, and the person comes, and I say, man, I've been waiting here. You call this fast food? Ooh. I guess I need to go deeper in the truth, don't I? And who do you believe Jesus is? My mom always had a saying that worked for her very well, and it was very convicting for me when it come down to issues and come down to things being said, and she would say, well, you either believe it or you don't. But there's a depth in belief that each of us needs to search after, that each of us needs to pursue in what we're doing. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you believe he is, and how are you living it out? As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. I'd like to make one thing clear here. And maybe nobody else in here has ever felt like this. But there have been times in my life when I sort of felt like God was playing with my life. Sort of like I had strings attached to me and he was just sort of yanking me around. Wondering why he was doing this, because it certainly what was happening wasn't fair. There have been times in my life when I've been fairly angry at God. Because I figured he was playing with what hurt my life and bringing pain into it sometimes and bringing healing into it sometimes and putting me in different situations. Boy, this was it. Putting me in different situations that he knew I didn't like and I didn't deserve. I know nobody here has ever felt like that. Let me tell you this. God does not play with our lives or in any way seek to trick us. He doesn't. But what I didn't realize when I would get angry was that where I was going to go from that point depended on who I said Jesus was, who I believed Jesus is, and who and how I live out what I say and what I believe. This year, 12 months, 52 weeks, this is week one of 52 weeks till next Easter. Where do you go from here? Depends on who you say Jesus is and who you believe he is and how you live out who you say he is. God does not play with our lives or in any way trick us. He moves us to recognize Jesus. He moves us to recognize Jesus. Jesus was traveling with his disciples. And as you might imagine, somebody that radical causes a stir in a culture and a community. And Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" Oh, they had a blast with that one. "Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Some even say you're John the Baptist, raised from the dead." Wow! And Jesus, in his way, asked a question. "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do you say Jesus is? And it's easy. I've got to tell you, it's easy. Because see, what I say and what I believe is linked. Well, Christ is, he's the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Really? Do you believe it? Where's the biggest complainer you know in the whole world this morning? Biggest complainer I know is in church somewhere. Church. Where's the angriest person you know in the world this morning?
Church.
Where's the most judgmental person you know in the world this morning?
Church.
Maybe you are the most judgmental person you know. Where's the person who's most afraid in the whole world this morning that you know?
Church.
Maybe you are the most afraid person you know on the face of the earth. If you are, then that's who you're saying Jesus is. And that's who you're saying you believe him to be. because that's how you're living out what you say and what you believe. So what's the answer? No, that's just the truth. Anybody have severe disagreements with what I've said? Will you agree with me that what I've said is true? Yeah. So what you going to do? I have a friend to say we're going to put on our big girl pants and our big boy pants. And we're going to seek God. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Oh, just like Jesus. Finally, Simon, he goes away. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Now, when their hearts were burning, what fact had changed? None. None. The only thing that changed is who they said Jesus was. Because no longer, they were starting to see him as more than a prophet now, because he was telling them about who? Himself. And if he told them about himself, he wasn't saying he was a prophet. No fact change. He had still been betrayed. He had still been crucified. He had still risen from the dead. They still found the empty tomb. But all of a sudden, all of that was built on another truth. The truth. And they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true! Remember what the guy said when Jesus said, what are you talking about? He goes, gee, are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on? They had all the facts. They just didn't have the truth. But now it's true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon, and then two of them told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Where do we go from here? Don't know. Where do you want to go from here? Where do you want to be spiritually? Where do you want to get to? Because when Jesus was leaving his disciples, he said, if I don't go, the Comforter won't come. In other words, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is who empowers us to move in what we say and what we believe. I think you're really going to like where Mark's going starting next week. I really do. Guess what he's going to be talking about? Go ahead, give me the Sunday school answer. Jesus, yeah. There's no better thing to talk about because who you say Jesus is and who you believe Jesus is and how you live out what you say and what you believe, that's going to determine where you go in good and in bad.
Would you stand with me? Take a moment. And Mike's been saying a lot about who Jesus is to you. Think about that right now. We're going to give a little space for that. And then we're going to move into a song that really talks about Jesus Christ and the answer for humanity. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.
sinner condemned and unclean. Let's sing that out. I stand. I stand.
Done for me, that who Jesus is to me is he is a redeemer, he is a savior, he has lifted me up from the pit and made a way for me. So when I think on that, I want to sing this second verse out again, that he took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his. Salvation doesn't stop right there. Christ has defeated death, and so we have victory over death. And we can embrace the fact that we will be with Jesus forever, the one who loves us.
Try this. If you're not really clear what I said, or I understand that, but try this. Begin with this, your first step in where to go from here. Take Romans 8:1. You can remember that, even if you can't write it down, you can look at it later. Romans 8:1 says, "For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from sin, from the law of sin and death." Woo! Now, compare that with who you're saying Jesus is, and who you're believing Jesus is, and how you're living out what you say and you believe. Take that verse, two verses actually. Study them for a year. Because that's what Jesus told the two men on the road to Emmaus. I pray and I hope that this is the best week you ever had in your life. But even if it's not, where you go from here depends on who you say Jesus is, who you believe he is, and how you live out what you say and what you believe. Have a great week.